Radio Prague News.
State dignitaries have honoured the memory of the paratroopers who killed Reinhard Heydrich 77 years ago. The opposition says it has enough signatures to call for a no-confidence vote next week. And Boston's David Pastrňák was named the Czech Hockey Federation Player of the Year. State dignitaries, as well as war veterans and hundreds of members of the public, gathered at Prague's Church of St. Cyril and Methodius on the occasion of Tuesday's 77th anniversary of the heroic last stand of seven paratroopers who were involved in the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, the governor of the occupied Czech lands during World War II. Speaking at the gathering, Defence Minister Lubomír Metnar said that it was important to remember such acts, while Deputy Premier Jan Hamáček and the leader of the lower house of parliament Zdeněk Ondráček laid wreaths at the memorial. In a project which took place earlier in 2019, researchers from the Military History Institute found two new areas within the church crypts that show where the paratroopers were trying to dig themselves out of their encirclement by Nazi troops. The Czech opposition parties say that they have enough signatures to call a no-confidence vote against the current government. The leader of the largest parliamentary opposition party, Petr Fiala, of the Civic Democrats, told this to journalists at a press conference on Tuesday. The vote is expected to be scheduled for sometime next week. Last month's preliminary EU audit, which found Prime Minister Andrej Babiš to be in conflict of interest and suggested the Czech Republic return hundreds of millions of crowns in EU funds, is seen as the primary instigator behind the opposition move. Mr. Fiala stated that the Prime Minister has been damaging the Czech Republic's reputation abroad. David Pastrňák, a 23-year-old forward for the Boston Bruins NHL team, has been named the Czech Ice Hockey Player of the Year for a third time in a row in an annual poll. Pastrňák narrowly edged out Tomáš Hertl of the San Jose Sharks in the poll. Placing third was Jakub Voráček of the Philadelphia Flyers, and fourth was David Krejčí of the Boston Bruins. In 2017, Pastrňák was the youngest ever recipient of the Golden Hockey Stick Award, now in its 51st edition. Jaromír Jágr has won the award the most times of any player, with 12 to his name. The Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš will meet with the President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, on Thursday, Czech Radio's online news service Iroslas reported. It cited the spokeswoman of the European Commission President, Mina Andreevna, as its source. 2 weeks ago, the Prime Minister said he would personally bring up the preliminary EU audit, which found him in a conflict of interest, with Mr. Juncker, and asked about its authors, whom he called, I quote, incompetent. However, Ms. Andreeva did not confirm the meeting would revolve around the audit results, stating instead that the agenda was unspecified and that the two leaders would be preparing for the next European Council meeting. This year, up to half of the Czech Republic's spruce tree population could be infested by bark beetles if the current crisis scenarios end up happening, Environment Minister Richard Brabec told Czech television on Tuesday. The spruce is the country's most common tree, making up more than half of all woodland in the country. According to Mr. Brabec, 500,000 hectares of forest are now at risk. The bark beetle has become a serious problem for the Czech woodland in recent years because of the increasingly hotter, drier climate. Spruce trees are most at risk from bark beetles, and the fact that they tend to be planted in large woodland monocultures makes the problem even worse, experts say. A district court in Hradec Králové on Tuesday acknowledged the right of the family of aristocrat Karel Valderode to property confiscated on the basis of the Beneš decrees in the post-war period. Valderode's widow, Johanna Kammerlander, has since 1992 been fighting to regain control of family assets in North Bohemia valued at around 3 billion crowns. Following the district court ruling upholding a preliminary decision of 2017, hearings could take place regarding around 1,400 individual properties. Due to his German nationality, Valderode lost his property in 1946 under the Beneš decrees. The family had their Czechoslovak citizenship returned the following year, but the communists took power before the assets could be returned. After emigrating in 1948, he again lost his citizenship. Criminal charges of corruption have been filed against more than 30 people, mainly Prague 1 officials, over the sale of city-owned flats at below market rates, the news server Lisprávy reported on Tuesday. Among the accused are former Prague 1 district mayor Oldřich Lomecký and his then-deputy Daniel Hodek, who are alleged to have voted to sell off apartments cheaply for personal gain, the new server writes. According to an expert opinion commissioned by the police, more than 20 city flats were sold below the market price, resulting in lost revenues of some 40 million crowns. Now, as far as the weather is concerned, this ongoing spell of hot, sunny weather is expected to end on Wednesday with the onset of rain and occasional storms across much of the country. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now. Hello and welcome. It is time for your daily dose of Czech news, brought to you by Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up in today's programme, the opposition seeks to remove the current Andrej Babiš government through a no-confidence vote. The Czech National Trust celebrates 5 years of existence. And later, we speak to student Oscar winner Maria Dvořáková. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The mainstream opposition parties in the lower house of parliament are pushing anew for a vote of no confidence in the Babiš government over the prime minister's alleged conflict of interest outlined by Brussels regarding the distribution of EU funds. They say that even if unable to muster the necessary numbers to bring down the administration, the vote would have great symbolic moral value. Brian Kennedy has more.
Against the backdrop of ongoing mass protests against the government, the leaders of the five mainstream opposition parties agreed on Tuesday to call an extraordinary meeting in Parliament next week to discuss calling a vote of no confidence in the government of Andrej Babiš. Together, the opposition parties have enough signatures to convene such a preliminary meeting ahead of an eventual no-confidence vote, a first step as outlined in the Constitution. As such, Mr. Babiš cannot make any excuses for not taking part in it, so says Civic Democrat Chairman Petr Fiala.
We want to confront the Prime Minister directly. We want to create room for this meeting, which Mr. Babiš not only can, but should and must take part in.
In order for a no-confidence vote to succeed, the opposition would need to win over at least 14 MPs from across the aisle to reach the 101 majority threshold. At present, the Civic Democrats, Pirates, Christian Democrats, and alliance between Topo 9 and the Mayors and Independence Party can only count on 87 votes. The preliminary audit from Brussels outlines the Prime Minister's alleged conflict of interest over the distribution of EU funds to Agrifert, a huge conglomerate that Mr. Babiš founded and placed in a trust more than 2 years ago in order to comply with a new Czech law. Alluding to charges of EU subsidy fraud against Mr. Babiš at home from a decade ago, Christian Democrat Chairman Marek Výborný said the government has long damaged the country's reputation and undermined its ability to influence decisions at the EU level.
This is why we consider this step to be not just the political gesture, but also a moral one. Every MP must clearly say whether or not they have confidence in this government and this Prime Minister, who's in conflict of interest and incapable of solving the problems of our citizens.
Last month's preliminary EU audit suggested that due to Mr. Babiš's alleged conflict of interest, the country would be obliged to return hundreds of millions of crowns in funds. He has dismissed that preliminary finding, insisting neither Czech nor EU laws were broken. Going on the offensive last week, he questioned the motives and competence of Brussels auditors and challenged the opposition to call a no-confidence vote. He said he would be glad to take the opportunity to tell the nation of the opposition's, quote, gross mismanagement, which he says deprived Czech state coffers of billions in EU funds. But since Mr. Babiš threw down that gauntlet, the loyalty of his own junior coalition partner, the Social Democrats, is suddenly less certain, and the Communists, whose tolerance the minority coalition government depends upon, have also made noises about withdrawing their support.
Brian Kennedy giving us an in-depth look on that political development there. Now, the Czech National Trust celebrated 5 years of existence on Tuesday with an international conference at Strahov Monastery in Prague. According to delegates, the National Trust concept, which comes from the UK, has been catching on well here in the Czech Republic. Ian Willoughby reports.
The Czech National Trust was launched in 2014 by Dr. Irena Edwards, a Czech-born lawyer, long resident in England. It follows the model of the British conservation charity, the National Trust, which protects hundreds of historic buildings as well as green spaces. To mark 5 years of existence, the Czech National Trust on Tuesday held an international conference at the Summer Refectory at Prague's Strahov Monastery. There, founder Irena Edwards explained its aims.
The focus of the conference is to support all the private initiatives, small initiatives, their investors, their architects, and show them that this is possible, that they have support of a big, big boys out there. And I would like to also show that Czech National Trust is connected to very honorable and large institutions who are willing and show that they are coming to support it anytime I ask.
Indeed, the special guest speaker on Tuesday was Tim Parker, chairman of the UK's National Trust, which has 5.7 million members. Eva Haid, director of the Czech National Trust, says its volunteers have often learned about the concept on visits to Great Britain.
People who are connected to us are usually people who love history or love historical gardens, so they are sort of connected to these ideas. And those people who were not really connected to English National Trust basically started to learn in the process. For example, in Rožmitál, there is one of our projects, is we have so many volunteers, and we just let people know that we have some volunteer work, and they come.
Alongside the locals, some volunteers also come from the UK and Ireland for working holidays, on which they help renovate Czech heritage sites. Conference speaker James Birch is president of the UK's Historic Houses and owns the Grand Doddington Hall in Lincoln. He says it makes sense for Czechs to follow the UK model of preservation.
I'm not particularly surprised. The National Trust of England is just this huge success where 1 in 12 of the population are members. It has the highest standards of curation. It's the best funded heritage organisation in the world, probably. And so it would be an obvious model to copy. I think that the Czech Republic has enough historic assets that it should be anxious to follow best practice. So it makes complete sense. The beauty of the National Trust is essentially you have a very qualified organisation, but it's fundamentally funded by individuals. It's not funded by the state.
And that was James Birch, the president of the UK's Historic Houses organisation, speaking to Ian Willoughby in that report. Ian Willoughby will stay with us after I give you this reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, because it is now time for the main feature of the day, where he interviewed award-winning director Maria Dvořáková.
In 2017, director Maria Dvořáková followed the likes of Spike Lee, Robert Zemeckis and her compatriot Jan Svěrák in winning the Student Academy Award for her film Who's Who in Mycology. When we spoke in New York, the filmmaker told me the short had a long gestation and that she was currently working on not one, but three new projects. But I first asked Maria Dvořáková what had drawn her to film in the first place.
Photography. I was very passionate about taking pictures, also about processing them and making prints in a dark room. And I applied for the Charles University, where I studied at the Department of Journalism, and I was focusing mostly on journalistic photography. And I fell in love with it. And of course, it wasn't enough for me at the time. And I thought, okay, I want to have the pictures to be moving. So let's get into documentary filmmaking. And that's how I got into filmmaking, through photography.
Well, I know you studied documentary at FAMU, and then you came here to the Tisch School of the Arts. How do those two experiences compare?
They are quite different, but they were very, I would say, quite beneficial, both of them. In Prague, the advantage was that we were a small group of people. Everything was financed by the schools, all the film exercises, the films we were making throughout our studies. So we had the budget. So there was no financial burden or limitations, meaning that you would have to count for every project that you were working on. which is not the case here in the U.S., where you have to pay the tuition, which is per year like $50,000, and then you have to finance your own film exercises and films that you make while you are studying at the school. The school gives you a little bit, they chip in a little bit, but it's not that significant. So the financial limitations, you really have to, when you study here filmmaking, you have to count and have like a calculator in your brain and count what you can afford, what you can't, what's too much. So that can be a little scary and limiting, but it teaches you something else as well. Here you have to be director/producer.
If it's not too intrusive a question, how have you managed to finance your studies here?
I was quite lucky because when I applied for this master's program here at the School of the Arts for the graduate film program, I was offered by Tisch, I was offered Dean's Fellowship, which is basically like a scholarship and you don't have to pay the tuition. So I was spared from that huge amount of money that I didn't have to pay and I didn't have to have the debt after leaving school like many others do.
You studied documentary in Prague. What did you take from documentary filmmaking into your fiction filmmaking?
I think the ability to observe reality and take the best out of it and try to use it in the fiction, because the fiction I want to do is a really great fiction. It's almost like a fantasy. But the behavior of the characters, it's well inspired by real characters and people that I know or I've observed and witnessed. So I think that's the part from the documentary filmmaking that stuck to me.
Well, last year you had great success with winning the Student Academy mm-hmm. Award for mm-hmm. your film Who's Who in Mycology. For people who don't know, what is the Student Academy Award?
Student Academy Award, it's the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences gives each year awards to students that create their own projects at schools in the U.S. and then around the world. There are different categories for international schools and domestic schools here in the U.S. And it's a great thing because it helps you to sort of, I would say, penetrate the scene on the West Coast and get in touch with producers, agents, managers. It can help you. I'm not saying it always does, but it can help you to open the doors for your future projects.
Well, some of the previous winners are really big names mm-hmm. like Spike Lee, Kari Fukunaga, and Jan Svierak. Mm-hmm. Have people been approaching you? Have people been coming to your door, offering you projects?
Yeah, there have been many people. Last year it was crazy, I would say. It already started not so much with the Student Academy Award, but also with my film screen at Telluride Film Festival, which is a very good and important festival here in the U.S., well-respected. So once the movie screens there, and they're very selective, there are many agents at the festivals, producers, managers, so I was approached by many back then. And then when the Student Academy Award happened, I was approached by many more. But I think it's not so much that people come to you and they offer you scripts. It's more like they're asking, what do you have? What is it that you have that you can offer us? So it's a little different. You have to be ready and prepared. And obviously, you have to like what they are offering to you. That people from Hollywood come to doesn't mean that it's the right fit for you. Maybe you want to do independent films somewhere else, you know. It has to be something you wish for and that you believe would be the right match. And if it is, then you have to be prepared and have the ideas, the scripts, treatments for future projects. And maybe you click with someone and you will develop the project together.
Tell us about the genesis of Who's Who in Mycology. How many years ago did you start working on it? How long did it take to make? I know it was your student graduate film.
Yeah, but in my case, it's a little different, quite different than what we have in Europe or in Czech Republic. I was at FAMU, the Prague Film School, and I decided to go and finish my master's degree in the U.S., so I applied for Tisch. And I actually didn't graduate from the school because I was offered a job as a creative director in an animation studio here in the U.S. And I loved the school and I worked for some time. But then I was sad that I didn't graduate and didn't finish the film. And I decided to get back to school, film the movie, and then come back and graduate. So I had like a big, many, many years long gap in my studies, which I don't recommend. But that's what happened in my case. And I was very lucky that at first when I decided or I conceived the idea of the Who's Who in Mycology, I applied for a grant that is given to filmmakers who sort of incorporate some scientific element in their film. You can apply for the grant. I did that with a friend of mine, and we received the money, and then we were literally pushed to film it. But obviously the money that we got wasn't enough, so we had to look for more, and it took some time. Also, as I said, I was having a job at the time, so it was not, making that film was not at the time priority because I had a day job that I was passionate about. But throughout the years, I was collecting the money slowly. I was collecting the film that I wanted to shoot on because I wanted to shoot on 35 millimeters. So I was collecting 35 millimeter short ends in Europe and in the US. Then at one point, I thought like, yes, we are ready. We have enough funds and we have enough film. And I was also waiting for my colleagues and friends that I knew from Prague that I wanted to work on the movie with. So I was waiting for them when they were available to give their time to me and to, you know, get on board and start the project. So there was a lot of waiting. But then it came all together and we finally we could film the film. We shot it in Prague and everything worked out pretty well. But it was a lot of waiting, I have to say.
Where did you acquire the 35 millimeter short ends?
Most of the film was acquired from the film short ends, or let's call it leftovers, from the film shoot Child 44, which was produced by Ridley Scott and it was filmed in Prague. They shot on film, and there were many film cans that weren't used, but they stayed in Prague in one production house. They had them in the fridge. They were there for like sitting there for like 2 years, and I learned about it, and I asked them whether I could purchase for like almost symbolic fee or symbolic sum of money the stock, the film stock, and we did, and it was incredible because the 35 millimeters still looked great, even though it was like, you know, expired, like 2 years expired stock. Still looks amazing. And the other portion I brought to Europe or to Czech Republic from New York, where I had some friends who were filming their feature films here in New York on 35 millimeter. And they were so generous that they had many short ends and they just gave it to me. So I was always asking friends of mine who came to visit me in New York. I was telling them, bring extra suitcase. And when you fly back, I'm going to give you some film cans. You have to take it home. So, and then my sister had all the cans in her fridge, which she was complaining about that she's so skinny because she has no space to put food in the fridge because they are only my film cans.
What's next for you, Maria?
Well, I have many things that are happening at the moment. I'm like barely sleeping every day. I'm developing a script with a dear friend of mine. She's Czech, but she's lived in the US for like 50 years. And in 1959, she's written a short story, and she kept that short story in her drawer, and she took it out like a few months ago, and she showed it to me, and I loved it, and we thought we would adapt it into a film script. She's working on it as a scriptwriter.
Who is she?
Her name is Milena Jelinek.
I think I interviewed her before.
Yes,
she
wonderful.
Works at Columbia or worked at
yes.
Columbia.
Mm-hmm. She teaches scriptwriting at Columbia University, and she's a scriptwriter of the movie Zapomenuté světlo, which is a beautiful movie, and one of the reasons why I went to FAMU when I was a teenager and I watched that film. I was like, I want to become a filmmaker and I wanted to go to FAMU. So we work on that together. Then I have another project, which is an animated film, which we would like to realize and make in on the West Coast in LA. And then I also have been filming a documentary film about a photographer, Czech photographer living in New York, Marie Tomanova. She's a young photographer who's very talented and a wonderful person. And I've been following her, filming about her and about her first solo exhibit that she had in New York and about the book that she's now preparing. So I'm filming her and I think it's going to be pretty good because she's a wonderful person.
And where do you see your future here or back in the Czech Republic or between both?
I think it will be between both because I've been here for so long that it's America is my second home, I have to say. And I love this country and I have many friends here. And I love spending time between the two continents. And as long as I'll be healthy to do it and able to, I will.
And that was director Maria Dvořáková, the winner of the Student Academy Award, speaking to Ian Willoughby in an interview that was first broadcast on February 5th, 2019. That is all from us today. Thank you very much for joining us. And don't forget that if you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We wish you a very nice rest of the day.